there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him again.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came to him and took hold of his feet and worshiped him." Amen. This past week, I spent some time sitting next to the large-scale liturgical justice stream that we have created from this church's original baptistry. And the original design of this church, right behind where our Be the Church sign, was a huge baptistry where people would be baptized. And we have created this roll-down justice river coming down from the baptistry. During this Lenten season, we have thought about the things that we wanted to give up during Lent. And this year, we decided to try to give up those things that stand in the way of God's justice rolling down like a mighty river. We've tried to give up our prejudices, our selfishness, or taking more in the world than we need. We were asked one specific question each and every Sunday for the last 6 weeks, and then we were invited to write down our answer on a little blue strip of paper that was in the bulletin, and later that blue strip was stapled to those ribbons and added to be the ripples in the water of our growing Roll Down Justice River. On Wednesday, I spent time in that river, believe it or not, meditating and reading over all of our answers. Except for the first week, none of us attached our names to our answers. I talked to Beverly Evans this week, who was the volunteer, one of them who helped to create that river. And every Wednesday night at choir, she would take all those papers from both churches that had accumulated in our blue mosaic bowl, and she would handle them carefully, these prayers that we had written. And one by one, she would add it to our growing river. On that first Sunday, we wrote down our names on pieces of paper because to begin this Lenten journey toward Easter, we had to remember that each and every one of us is a child of God. Of course, I won't be able to say all of the names, but a few of the ones I looked at on Wednesday were Kai, Eric, Krista, Keith, Nancy, Cheryl, Ginger, Ellen, Catherine, Starry, Linda, Denny, Jace, Alex, Judy. Not everyone's name was included on a piece of paper, but each and every person's name in this room and in this world is written upon God's heart, and that's where it really matters. The following week, we thought about injustices that make us angry. So many lamented on their little blue piece of paper that all should have health care. Other injustices that were written down included silence, racism, unfair treatment, homophobia, poverty, hunger, child abuse, homelessness, and the election. We got even more personal during the third week of Lent, listing things that frustrate us about church, whether these two churches or the church at large in the wider world. Some of those frustrations included too much segregation, lack of total commitment, cliques, gossip, hypocrisy, finances. That first half of Lent, we put ourselves in the river with all of those things that are in deep need of contact with God's rolling stream of justice. For the final 3 weeks of Lent, we widened that river with intentions of contributing towards new life and resurrection and an Easter consciousness that the world so desperately needs. On that fourth week, we wrote down the names of persons with whom we desired reconciliation. Or we simply wrote down the word forgiveness, and we allowed that word to be our prayer for the day. Some of those prayers called out for forgiveness to those who have ostracized me, for law enforcement, for my aunt, my mother, my dad, my family. Several papers called for reconciliation with those who voted differently than they did in the election. Others called for reconciliation and forgiveness for oneself. In the fifth week of our Lenten faith practice, we looked to Jesus, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, and our little strips of blue paper already had something written upon it. It was as if Jesus' own resume had been cut up into little strips of paper, and we each got a piece, and we held it up high in the air, and we remembered what he accomplished in his ministry and what he was called to bring to this world. Each little piece of paper, one said, "Preach good news, proclaim release, recover sight, set at liberty, announce the time is come, heal the sick, feed the hungry, eat with sinners." We began to see that in order to keep this river flowing, we were going to have to follow in Jesus' footsteps. Finally, last week, one important key to letting justice roll down like a river and righteousness to flow like a mighty stream was revealed. We were asked to write down the name of a person or a group of people whom we vowed to cultivate a relationship with in the near future. Some people wrote down church family. Others wrote down my biological family. Some wrote down the Native American community, the Black Lives Matter community, immigrants, transgender youth, those whom I am uncomfortable with, queer people of color, the pagan community, myself, and God. Cultivating relationships is what Easter is all about. Our Jeremiah text comes from a section of the prophet's writing known as the Book of Consolation. And I don't know about you, but I think all of us could use some consolation after this heavy, hard week of despair and destruction in our world. In this chapter, the tone shifts from warning and woe to the promise of restoration and renewal of life. The prophet hears God's voice assuring, "I have loved you with a love that lasts forever. With unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. And again, I will build you up, and you will be rebuilt." Jesus' cultivation of relationships with those who are different than himself is what drew others to him and made his movement and ministry so powerful. His relationships extended beyond his death. Mary of Magdala and the other Mary came to the tomb on what would one day become Easter morning. With great awe and joy, they experienced the risen Christ. Jesus has continued to cultivate relationships beyond his earthly life for 2,000 years now. What kind of Easter resurrection power could be realized if we all cultivated relationships that are not the easy ones to tackle? Equal, respectful, compassionate relationships with those of different religions than ourselves, different political persuasions, different countries of origin. As most of you know, this is my first Sunday back after having been gone for 2 weeks. After 5 years together, Dana and I were married in what was one of the most meaningful weekends of my life. On my first day back to work, this past Tuesday, both churches organized a celebration ritual for us at Will Rogers Park. We love rocks because we believe that each and every rock has the capability of holding the energy and intention that the person who has held it has placed inside of it. I thought this week about the large stone that was in front of Jesus' tomb. Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council who did not want Jesus to die, boldly went up to Pilate after the crucifixion and asked if he might be able to have the body and to bury Jesus. Pilate said yes, and he laid the body in a tomb that he had hewn out of rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door. I wonder about the power within that stone. When it was announced that we were having a ritual where folks from the churches were invited to bring special rocks for Dana and I to take into our own garden, several joked that perhaps in other churches, a pastor and her lesbian wife might be stoned after a same-gender wedding, but that was not the sentiment of the ritual that had been prepared for us. The rocks were placed in a spiral pattern that formed a walkway, and Dana and I held hands and walked between the rocks, and ever so often we stooped down and picked up a rock to see what was written on all the different sides of it. There was one rock that reminded me of Easter. On the top of the rock was the word joy, and I picked it up and I looked on the bottom of the rock, and there was also a word that was written, and it was joy. And do you know what was in between the joy on the top of the rock and the joy on the bottom of the rock? A hard rock. That reminded me of when we go into this Easter Lenten journey. We leave behind the joy that we may have been experiencing from winter holidays, and then we step into a hard place, a Lenten time of reflection, a time of darkness and lament. But then without fail, we sing Alleluia. The tulips bloom. I come to church and there's magically flowers here on Easter morning that I didn't know about. And we are reminded that and assured that after every single dark night of the soul, a sunrise full of promise will come. Promise that the night will not last indefinitely. Promise that God loves us with an unfailing love that lasts forever. Promise that on the other side of a hard rock or a hard time in life is joy. He is risen, and we shall be too. Amen.